Our second reading is from Mark chapter 15, and it's the last bit that I want us to think about as we just come towards the final part of our service. It says this: at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, and put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." There was darkness on that first Good Friday. A kind of eerie darkness, a darkness that the world has really never known before. It was a darkness that came over the whole land, it says, until 3 p.m. From noon until 3, that's 3 hours. Now, I don't know if you remember the solar eclipse, but it seemed to go by quite fast. It was kind of partial. And, you know, maybe when you think about what is this darkness, you think, well, maybe it was a solar eclipse. And I have to say, I love looking into kind of theories of what different things are. But this darkness was no solar eclipse. I did some research that the longest solar eclipse that there's going to be in 12,000 years, so from 4,000 BC to 8,000 AD, the longest solar eclipse, they can calculate it, is going to be 7 minutes. 7 minutes. And actually, when you look into this, you discover that Jesus was crucified at Passover. And Passover is a date set by the fact that there's a full moon. And when you think about the geometry, the sun has to reflect on the full moon. So the moon has to be on the other side from the sun. And yet in eclipse, the sun and the moon are in the same place. That's why the moon separates us from the sun. This was no solar eclipse. So what was it? Well, it was a miraculous darkness to signify that something massive was going on that Good Friday. It was a darkness that was coming over our world. A darkness that, yes, in some ways, like the solar eclipse, meant that the sun was being blotted out because something was separating the light from the earth. So that's what I want us to first think about this morning, the darkness, the separation. What was it that was separating? And this is where the passage helps us. It gives us a clue in verse 34. After it talks about the darkness, it says that Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." This is a quote from Psalm 22, except Jesus, he wouldn't have just been kind of quoting it because he could have learned it in Hebrew. That was the language they learned the scriptures in. And yet he cries out in Aramaic, his kind of heart language. He's not just quoting this, he's feeling this. My God, why have you forsaken me? His friends have deserted him. His clothes have been stripped from him. He's been nailed to a cross. And now God, the Father, the one that he's enjoyed close fellowship and friendship with for eternity, now God has forsaken him? What is going on here? Why now? Why at the end of this darkness? Well, what is it that separates us from God? Well, you don't have to read far in the Bible to discover what it is that separates us from God. In so many places we could have turned. Here's one very clear verse in the Old Testament, Isaiah 59, verse 2, which says this: "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." That is what sin and selfishness and wickedness and pride do. They separate us from God, the Holy One, the one who is perfect and pure. So why Jesus? I mean, he never did anything wrong. He was perfect and pure. Why is Jesus experiencing this separation? Well, it's because he is taking on himself my sin and your sin. Our individual sin, our corporate sin, the sin of families, the sin of even churches, companies, cities, nation, the nations. Not just our sin of this week, folks, but the sin of our lives. Not just the sin of our lives, but the sins through history. I mean, this is a massive thing. Think of just the things you and I have done wrong this week. The ways where we've been selfish, where we've ignored God, where we've done things that we're ashamed of. Jesus comes and he takes those and all those through history upon himself. This is the separation of sin being pressed down on the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This is the one who offered living water to people who now finds he's thirsty and is offered wine vinegar to drink. Something so bitter. Believe you me, it doesn't parch your thirst. If you want to leave just knowing a very small little bit of that bitterness, take some wine vinegar as you leave. There are cups. I offer it to you. The one who offered living water gets offered wine vinegar. The one who breathed life into all creation and then breathed life, we hear later on, into the church by his Spirit. This one breathes his last. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his life. The giver of life has given up his life that we might live. This is amazing. This is Good Friday. This is a love like no other. This is then a day when we come and realize that sin is serious. It doesn't just not matter what people do. Things do have consequences. God is a God of justice, and yet there is one who came and died in our place. And so this morning, we're just going to pause at this point in the sermon, just before I continue on. And I would love us to come in confession, to come and just in this moment say to God that we recognize the seriousness of our sin, that it caused him to have to die. Got a little prayer up on the screen here, which just in a moment, after we've had time to just confess anything specific in our life to God, that we might be able to pray out loud together if you feel able. So let's just be still. We're going to be quiet. We come in confession this day to the cross. Let's be still. And so we pray together, if you feel able. God, I'm sorry for all my sin, in thought, word, and deed. Thank you, Jesus, for suffering in my place. Amen. The darkness separated, but then something amazing happened as Jesus breathed his last. The curtain was torn in two. Now this curtain was massive. It was the curtain in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of everyone else, the place where God was seen to dwell from everyone else. This curtain was like 60 feet high. It was like 4 inches thick. It weighed about 4 to 6 tons. They actually have historical records that it took 300 people to kind of maneuver it into position. This curtain being torn was a kind of physical miracle in itself, if you imagine trying to tear a curtain like that. But there's something even more miraculous going on here. You see, this curtain was like a big no entry sign. It was like being told, hey, people, if you're not perfect, don't come near God. Because God is perfect. That whole thing that sin separates us from God. And yet what happens here on this Good Friday is that as Jesus died, the curtain in the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. It's like God reached out his hand and came down and went, boom, that no entry sign is gone. Heaven is open. As a friend of mine said here a few weeks back very powerfully, this is no act of human vandalism, but an act of divine invitation. Jenny Brown at a communion service said that just a few weeks ago. Let me say it again. This is no act of human vandalism, a curtain being torn. This is an act of divine invitation. This is an invitation, folks. The curtain is torn in two. The way is open. Heaven is open for us. This is why it is Good Friday. And how is it possible that heaven could be open to folks like you and I? Well, this is what the writer to the Hebrews said. He says this in Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, the presence of God, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened for us through the curtain that is his body. It's an amazing invitation. Heaven is open. And this is the remarkable thing. In Mark's gospel, we've seen a few times that heaven has been opened temporarily. Kind of heaven was open and a voice even came from heaven saying, this is my son. But then heaven closed again and the voice went. But now look here, heaven is open and the curtain stays torn. It's nothing temporary about it. Heaven is inviting us and all in. And the voice is not just being a voice from heaven, but now look what happens at the end of our reading. This is the voice of a man. This is the voice of a sinner. This is the voice of one who actually killed Jesus. The centurion is now the one who's saying, this is the Son of God. And all now through history since that time, men and women, sinners who've discovered that this is good news for them. Sinners who've realized that heaven is open and that there's this invitation and have come to realize who Jesus is and to celebrate it and go, this is amazing. They've started proclaiming it. They've been the ones who've been pointing to this Jesus. And like the centurion, like we're doing today, like people will be doing in Kenya today and right across the world, they've been saying, surely this is the Son of God. And so today it's very fitting that in just a moment that we're going to go and with other Christians in this local area from other churches, we're going to have a walk of witness. We're going to stand together and walk together behind a cross, and you're welcome to join us. You don't have to, but just at 11 o'clock at St. John's Palmyra Square, a number of different churches and Christians are going to gather together, and we're just going to walk through the streets of Hove, some of them, head towards St. Andrew's Church near Tesco's. And we're going to walk to just remind Brighton and Hove that this is a day that's like no other day. This is a day when Jesus died. This is a day when God, the Son of God, came to earth to die for my sin and yours. And this is not a day to just keep on doing the DIY. This is a day to mark a holy moment. I was given a powerful little poem by John Bailey, and I just want to read it out to you as we come to an end and just have another pause moment. A stranger walks slowly right down our streets as on a Good Friday morning. Nobody knew him, so nobody cared. He just came without any warning. He stopped at my gate a moment to rest, as then I felt my heart harden, and he asked me for a cup of water to drink. But I went on digging the garden. He was just picked up the load that he carried to goodness knows where. Heavy it was and shaped like a cross. I straightened my back and just stared. As he went on down the road, my neighbors were busy, their ladders and brushes and paint. And he paused for a while and gave him a smile. How pathetic he looked and how quaint. I thought then to follow and see what took place, though the weary one staggered and fell, but nobody offered to help with the load, though his end was at hand, I could tell. I remembered a story of old, the days when most folk went to church, when they called Jesus King of the Jews, though deserted and left in the lurch, and his crown was made of thorns. For the years I had left him to walk all alone to a hill I recall, Calvary. There, nailed to that cross, he had suffered and died for a love of a sinner like me. And there in the street, he came into my heart as I lifted him onto his feet, and the print of the nails were there in both hands, and I wept when our eyes kept to meet. I thank you, dear Lord, was all I could say. It was little enough to be sure. Go and tell others, he softly replied, and I will by his grace evermore. My prayer is that this day we would meet this Jesus who died and, as we're going to hear on Sunday, rose again. And that we would then go tell others of this amazing thing, that there is one who loved us enough to die in our place, to free us, that we might know God and help others know him. So we're just going to pause and be still. And up on the screen is another prayer. And in a moment after we've been still, we're going to say this again together if you feel able. So why not come? Heaven is open. The invitation's there. Come with confidence to meet your God and speak to him and ask to know him more. Let's be still and then we'll pray. And so let's pray together. God, thank you that heaven is now open. Thank you for Jesus, your Son. I believe in him. Help me grow in knowing him more and helping others to know him too. Amen.